Help News Radio 92.3's programming decisions by joining our listener advisory board. Just by joining, you'll have a chance to win a dinner for two at Jackson's Steakhouse. Then, as a member of our listener advisory board, you'll have a chance to provide feedback about our current on-air hosts, news, traffic, and weather. You'll also be able to provide recommendations in order to help us improve our station. News Radio 92.3 is all about being informative, local, and dependable. So help us be the station that our neighbors want to listen to. Go to newsradio923.com and click on the listener advisory board tile and sign up. It's time for your morning pep talk with Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I get knocked down, but I just keep my head up high, 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 oh, high, high, high. Stuck on the ground, but I just keep my head up high, 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 oh, high, high, high. Keeping my head up and up high, high. Keeping my head up and up.
Good morning. 9:08. Happy Tuesday. A little chilly out there, Mike.
Oh, it's very, very chilly. It's I was surprised. I mean, I walked outside to kind of walk in the backyard for a few minutes. I had to run back inside and get a sweater. I had no idea it was going to be this cold or feel this cold. And my goodness, and tonight is going to be even worse.
Yeah, it's not going to feel like Florida anymore.
No, it is not. As a matter of fact, from a garden line standpoint, there are some things that we probably need to talk about, things we need to do. But I you know, so much of the things we do outside are geared to the weather. And I talked to some interesting stats on the cold weather. Our average temperature this time of year, this day, is 71 degrees in the day and 51 at night. My goodness, the average freeze date, remember we talked about some of that last time, the average freeze date is December the 11th. Wow. So,
well, dipping into the 40s, colder. Though, tonight.
We are going into the 40s. Well, the Pensacola area is going into the 40s, right around city limits, if you will. But you get a little further north, and they have a, quote, freeze warning up there. It's going to freeze up there. Absolutely. So, I thought we'd talk just a second about, you know, things to do in a freeze. And we're not going to talk about a hard freeze here in Pensacola. I don't think it's time to go out and wrap your plants. I really don't. Not in Pensacola.
Don't sweater up your plants yet.
Not that. But a lot of us have house plants. For example, let's say an areca palm, a palm, you know, an indoor palm. But I have one that's outside that gets a lot of sun, a lot of sun. And with this cold weather, if we're going to have this trend into this cold weather, it's probably time to take those plants that are out in the full sun that you're probably going to have to move into the house. Start bringing them in to give them more shade. Put them under a patio or put them right next to the house because they do better when they have a gradual cooling, if you will.
Instead of that worst shock.
You're exactly right. Plants, you name the plant, you go from hot Pensacola summer to a very cold early freeze, you can have plant damage. But plants like to acclimate themselves to the weather, be it from cold to hot, hot to cold. That's what plants prefer. And so if you're going to move some house plants in, kind of start right now and kind of moving them closer to the house. Now, if you live up north, you know, some of our listeners way up north, up in, say, Molino and that area, you may freeze tonight. If so, you may have to go ahead and bring those plants inside now because a freeze, no matter, it is early to have that freeze, but a freeze is a freeze, and you can have some plant damage if it goes into 32. But when you have your house plants in the house right now, this time of year on short days, you need to move those plants where they get a little bit more sun. You should cut your fertilizer easy in half. I kind of say during the winter, you don't even need to fertilize your house plants. You need to mist them because they are used to the hot weather and the humidity outside, and you need to mist them. And some people even take a tray and put a bunch of pebbles in it and fill it with water and put the plant pot on that, and it kind of increases the humidity. So there are a lot of things we need to do insofar as getting ready for this cold weather, because if it's going to come this early, we need to do some things that we normally wouldn't do, probably until we get into the latter part of November and even into December. So anyway, maybe it won't be as cold as they say, but if you do live up north, you might need to take some preparations. Oh, and one other thing is I think is really important. Even though we're going to just go into the low 40s, all right, about 40 in Pensacola, water your lawn, water your plants. If you can, do it today. Always before a cold snap, water your plants. Now, I'm not talking about how they do down in South Florida where they'll put water all over the citrus and it'll freeze and all. We can't do that. That's too high tech. We don't want it. We can't get involved in that. But just do normal watering. If you have some container plants, be sure to water those, because plants are less susceptible to cold damage if they're well irrigated. And if they're dry and in need of water and we have a freeze, you're going to have more damage than you would otherwise. So get out there and water those plants. And the further north you are in the county or over in Alabama, because they're going to have a freeze warning also over there, go ahead and get that water on there if you can today. I think that would help you out.
I like that idea you said with the pebbles and creating your own humidity. I thought that was really neat, Mike.
Yeah, that is neat. And that's another way to do it, another way to
because you don't want to drown them.
No.
Or get that rot at the bottom. But
exactly.
That's having
exactly
that
right.
Moisture continue to be brought up is really
whatever,
good.
And whatever pot plants you put on those pebbles, be sure you've got a lot of holes in that pot for good drainage. And so those that procedure will help you. But some things we need to do in the cold weather. I know a lot of us have got so many plants in containers and such as that we have enjoyed all summer long. A lot of them are showing signs of the fall, too. I know outside, and these are planted in the ground, my elephant ears have just about had it. they really have. They're getting brown on the edges. They're leaning over. My caladiums are the same thing. They've bolted, really. They've just gotten so long and leggy. It's time to – I'm going to take out some of those caladiums and put some mums in there, I think just for the fall. Just for the fall, and enjoy them. A lot of people use the mums, and we can talk about that later, because that's a good perennial. But I use them. I just like to put them in pots for the fall. They last a month or so, and then probably go ahead and put some pansies in after that, because they'll go throughout the whole winter. So a lot of things to do this time of year, and we can love to talk about that on the Garden Line.
Absolutely. It's 9:15 this morning on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to the Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you'd like to text in, 850-437-1620. You can text in, or we'd love to hear your beautiful voice this chilly morning. It looks like right now in Pensacola, it's 54. In Cantonment at 52, Milton 53, and Gulf Breeze 55 degrees. So if you have a question, something going on in your yard, in your house plants, maybe in your heart, you want to talk about it, we're here for you. Mike is here to answer all your questions.
Any questions you have, we are here. Absolutely.
Hang out with us this morning. I've got some texts coming in. I promise to get to them. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to our first question on how to get rid of moles. Oh, the pesky moles tunneling through
our yards.
My mama taught me how to share, but I be selfish and I don't care, cause I want you, I need you all for me. I don't want anybody loving my baby, nobody but me.
Hey, 850-437-1620 is the number to text or call. We are getting backed up here on our text line, so let's move through these questions this morning on the Garden Line. Mike Wiggins is here. I'm Jenna Barr. Thanks for hanging out with us. I've got some more chilly weather on the way, and the fair arrives on Thursday, and it's only going to get colder. The fair comes, the cold comes. Let's talk about moles, not the ones on your face. You go see the dermatologist for that. Let's talk about the moles in your yard. Yeah. How do you get rid of moles?
I used to do a blab TV show called The Garden Spot. We did it for years and years and really had a good time doing that. And I think if I had to rate that question, I would say it was one of the most asked questions on our, it was an open line type show, one of the most asked questions on our show. So here's what we do about moles. And quite frankly, I'm not sure any of the answers are going to be totally satisfactory. But for moles, some people will even technically call them a pocket gopher because they are digging machines. And they will put a run through your yard. And what they do, they're after insects. They're after bugs. They're not after your, they're not trying to eat your grass. But what they will do, very similar to mole cricket damage, they will burrow up your yard, loosen up the grass. The grass will dry out because the roots have been disturbed, and therein lies your problem. What I tell people to do is to get some good granular insecticide and put it around the perimeter of your house to kind of, if when the moles come in on your property, hopefully that will take care of the insects and they'll go somewhere else because there are no insects for them to eat. Now, I've always said, if you live in an area where there's a lot of construction, new homes, for example, then you've got a more of a problem. If you live near a wooded area, you've got more of a problem with moles. So use those granular insecticide and try that. It's not perfect, but when you do see those runs in your yard, go stomp them down. Kind of get those roots back in, kind of like you know, golfers repair a ball mark. Kind of go and kind of shove that grass back in there, and sometimes it will recover. And put more water. Water it more. That will help those roots regenerate and recover. A couple other things that one can use, there are some little green pellets. I think it was called, I used to sell it, I think it was called Mole Go. I'm not sure. But little green pellets that you put into the run, I think they were so poisonous. If you have dogs and little children, don't even try it.
I know what you're talking about. But do they use those with rats and stuff?
Like, yes, kind of the same looking stuff.
It's like a
stuff.
Rodent pellet.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's exactly right. Now, before we leave this subject, you're going to hear a lot of people have all these, what I call old wives' tales at work. Juicy fruit gum is one that you hear all the time. Roll it up, wear gloves so it doesn't have a human scent on it, and you put that in the run, and that supposedly helps. Mothballs. Some people have used mothballs to put in there to repel the moles. I think those are all sort of urban legends. I'm not sure they really work, but you got to try something because they can really be a problem. But if you're going to use a traditional method, use that granular insecticide to control the insects, which the mole is after. So that's sort of the mole story. And it is, it's a problem a lot of people face. They really do, especially if you are living in a new neighborhood with new homes going up or just homes being repaired. Mm-hmm. The moles want to go somewhere else, and they want to come to your yard.
I mean, we used to live off Scenic, and they were everywhere.
Absolutely.
Oh, they would just taunt with you. I feel like they watched me.
They watched?
I feel like they watched me as I had that struggle. Or, you know what, if you really want to, I'll give you Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping's phone number, and he thinks moles are really cute, so I know also know he loves squirrels. So if you have a mole or a squirrel problem, maybe we can send him on over to Paul.
Right. Let me tell you something about Paul. Well, let me stop you there. I got a nice text from Paul.
Yeah.
Said they're wrapping up this large landscaping project on the corner of North Spring and West Lee. I think that's probably over in North Hill, don't you?
That is North Hill.
Yeah, and he's just saying for everyone to swing by and check out the project that they're doing. He says they're working, I guess, on the front and the backyard. He said they were a dust bowl before he got there.
Wow!
So it'll be very interesting. I'm going to swing by there this week when I go downtown and take a look at what he's up to. But he sent me that nice text, and Paul's a good friend of this show. He's a great landscaper, so it might be fun to go see what he's up to.
Oh, we love our friends at Blue Sky, which help keep the Garden Line on the radio every Tuesday morning.
We appreciate it. You know, it's almost time for Paul to come visit us again.
Yes, it is. It's almost Thanksgiving, which means it's almost time. Hey, question, where is a good place in Northwest Florida, for Escambia and Santa Rosa County, to get pansies? Where do you recommend?
Funny you mention that. A lot of your garden centers don't have all their pansies in yet. They come in a little later than the mums and that type of thing. I did see some at trying to think. I think it was Home Depot. I was there for doing a little project I was doing. I think they had some pansies. But as we get into November, you'll see the garden centers will have more and more and more because they're just always a little later coming. But I think Home Depot had some. And they had multicolors. They had some yellows and blues. And
some
really, really pretty ones.
I love the yellows with the
little face.
The face.
Oh, yes.
It's my favorite.
Those are great.
Well, it reminds me a little bit. I know it's not completely right, but what's the movie? Wizard of Oz?
Okay.
But what's the actual flower that's in Wizard of Oz? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Is it a pansy or no? I know Paul knows. Paul will help us.
Paul.
But they remind me of that flower, which I love Wizard of Oz. So this is, it's
the only
also
thing I'm
can
thinking
be
about
a little Halloween.
I'm thinking about sunflowers, but I don't know if that's it.
Oh. What are those? They're going to bother me. Somebody's going to text me.
Well, wait, we have an answer.
Will.
We have answer
I'm
from
sorry,
the newsroom.
I'm sorry. Go. What is it, Steve?
And to quote the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah. Poppies.
Poppies.
Poppies. Oh, no. Why didn't we know that?
I knew. Wrong P.
He is a wealth of information.
Thank you for waving at us. He was flying. He was flying. Oh, somebody's calling to correct. I like not being the smartest person. We know that, right?
I've never been the smartest person.
I will never be the smartest person.
I'd like
person.
To try it.
I want somebody else to correct me. Steve, thank you so much for
thank
that.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, we can get poppies too for you.
Wicked,
it's 925.
Wicked Witch of the West. I do remember her.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It's Halloween. when we come back, let's talk about covering fruit trees tonight. Should we? Should we not? Let's think about it. We're going to answer that question and more here on The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. We're back here on The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Thanks for texting in, 437-1620. We are going to talk about fruit trees and then head to our phone line with Chris from Pensacola. But first, cover the trees tonight or not?
In Pensacola, no need. We're going to get to 40 degrees. Not going to be a big deal. The further up north you get, watch that temperature. If it's around 32, you'll probably be okay. But if it gets colder than they say, yes, especially if it's a young, immature tree.
Ooh,
I think some of your mature trees would be fine, but if it's a younger one, say you planted this summer, it might not be a bad idea. But don't forget, take off whatever you put on there, be it a blanket or whatever, a sheet, and take it off tomorrow early, because when it warms up, those sheets, especially if you use plastic, which we say don't ever do, it can turn into a greenhouse and burn up your plants. So be real careful what you use and when you use it.
You don't want to hot box the plants.
Well said. I've never heard of that. That's good.
Steve.
That's good.
Oh, on that note, it's 9:29, so we have just a minute to get a question. Is it Chris from Pensacola on the line?
Correct.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds for your question. Go ahead.
Mike, I'm looking up in the Molino area, and there's a tree I found up there, and the leaves are as big as two of your hands put together. The seed pods come up on an upward angle, and tree is probably 50, 60 foot tall, something like this. I was told it was an imperial, but I've never heard of that tree. It has purple blooms that come out of it. Have you ever heard of this?
You know, I don't. I don't know exactly what that is. I wish we had a picture. If we had a picture of it, I bet we could get a little bit closer. But with the purple blooms and the big, you know, huge leaves, 50 feet tall. Ooh. Have to do a little research on that one to see exactly what that is.
Stay tuned, Chris.
That's a great question, Chris. Thanks. We'll see what we can do.
Yes. And Mike, I like that you look into things for us. Thank you so much. You know what? Let's take a break. We've got some news to go into. We'll come back to more questions. Yes, poppies will make us sleep. Steve, what do you got coming up in the news, my friend?
Well, Pensacola dentist Dr. Charles Stamatolis is one step closer to going to trial.
Every time it rains, Panties from heaven.
Shoo-be-doo-be.
Don't you know each cloud contains Panties from heaven?
Shoo-be-doo-be.
You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down and trading for a package of.
Are you singing too, Mike?
Absolutely.
You can't but sing.
I am tapping
Toe
my feet. I'm tapping my feet and my pen over here.
What's
like
that
I'm playing
called?
The drums.
We're were doing the jig. Hey, good morning.
I know that's old, but that is great music. I am sorry.
It's the best. Please, I will take that over whatever is happening now. Cardi B, please. Please not. Cardi
Who?
B, not. Exactly.
Who?
Exactly. We don't listen to it either.
Okay.
All right. Hey.
All right, here we go. Here we go. You ready?
Let's answer Chris's question.
All right, here's Chris's question. All right, Chris, here we go. I'm going to say one quick thing before I answer his question. We said this last week. We learn on this show. We really do.
Absolutely.
We learn some things because I am not familiar with this tree. But, Chris, I believe it is an imperial, you had it right, an imperial honey locust, which is a tall growing tree with the blooms and the seed pods and all of that. An imperial honey locust. I'm not sure, but that the word imperial on that may be, and I'm just sort of guessing, the name of a company that developed it. I think it's up north. There's a company called Nature Hills that offers that tree for sale, but they have said that that tree is out of stock. So in any event, you may want to Google imperial honey locust, Chris, to see if, in fact, that is the right answer for you. But I think it's mighty close. I really do. But we appreciate the question because we've sold trees for years and years and years, and I've never sold nor treated an imperial honey locust. Sounds beautiful. Sounds like if you're looking for a tall tree, a thick tree, that might be the one for you. It's interesting. I don't know if it's available anywhere or not, but that's what we came up with.
It is very, very beautiful. When I was looking at the pictures, it kind of reminds me of trees in Maryland and Delaware area.
Yeah, I just have this feeling that it may be a tree that's more prevalent up north, but I may be wrong there. There's a couple of big tree companies up there with the name Imperial in it. Tree trimming, tree removal, you know, like we have tree surges like we have down here. Whether that's all related or not, I don't know. But
okay.
Interesting question.
Very good. Hey, thanks for your questions. Thank you for texting in. I have some more here. Throw your question into the text line, 850-437-1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer all your calls and questions on the Garden Line this Tuesday morning. Mike, is it too late to use winterizer or herbicides in the lawn? I have zoysia, full sun in the front yard, and St. Augustine, mostly shade in the backyard.
Right, and you would want to use the same thing, the same fertilizer on both varieties of lawn. I love to do that winterizer fertilizer earlier in the fall, even late August into September. But it's not too late. If you haven't done it, I would go ahead and consider doing it. Remember now that the best formula, the one we like, is 10-5-14. The key to that is that last number in the formula needs to be larger than the other two numbers because that's potash and that's going to strengthen the roots of the grass. It's not going to turn it green. It's going to strengthen the roots of the grass, which is going to make it get through the winter safely, if you will, and then come out strong in next spring. So, no, it is not too late. Now, insofar as herbicides are concerned, well, let me back up. If you're going to use an herbicide, don't use a combination. Get just the fertilizer and do that. If you're going to use an herbicide, if you want to use an herbicide to kill weeds that are there right now, ones that are looking at you, broadleaf weeds in particular, dollar weed, Florida pusley, Virginia buttonweed, that type of thing, yes, go ahead and use your sprays now, but don't use a combination weed and feed because usually when you buy that weed and feed, that formula is not like what we just discussed. So, but no, it's with this temperatures like they are, it's a good time to spray your post-emergence weed killers. In other words, your weed killers to kill the weeds that are there. But looking ahead into November, that's when we want to use our pre-emergence to keep future weeds from coming up. And I like to do that mid-November and then repeat it mid-February. So, yes, the time for fertilizer is almost over. But if you haven't done it, do it. But obviously, water it in real good. But just the opposite, using the post-emergence weed killer, you don't want to water that on top of that because you'll just obviously wash the weed killer off the weeds mm-hmm. and you need it to sit on the weeds to kill it. So that's the schedule I'd follow.
Okay. So back in tracking back. what is the word? So what is the time to plant winter ryegrass, though? And should weed and feed be applied previous to the seeding? What do you think?
Well, if you're going to use any weed killer, especially the pre-emergence weed killer, you don't want to do ryegrass, because ryegrass will keep weed seeds from coming up. It will, I mean, the pre-emergence weed killer will keep the weed seeds from coming up, just like it will the ryegrass. So,
okay.
So what you want to do, ryegrass, yes, I think you're getting very, very close. As we get in, I'd wait maybe about to the 1st of November and then put out my ryegrass. Now, a couple of things about that ryegrass. One, it'll keep your lawn looking terrific all sure. winter long, green as it can be. But you know the problem, Jenna? You got to mow it. You can't put that lawnmower up. You got to mow it. So, but when you're going to apply the ryegrass, here's what you do first. Rake your yard good. Just kind of rake it, get some of all the leaves and a little bit of the dead grass out of there, thatch, if you will. And then sow your ryegrass at about 10 pounds per 1,000 square feet. So you got to do your arithmetic. If you've got a 3,000 square foot front yard, obviously use about 30 pounds of ryegrass. As you put it in, you want to water it really good. What you don't want to do, and on the package, when you buy ryegrass from some brands, they will say, here's your ryegrass. First step one, mow your lawn very short. That is totally wrong for our part of the country. Don't do it. Don't do it. Mow the lawn at the exact same height you mowed it the middle of July. Never lower that lawn blade. You don't want to do that. When the daytime temperatures are staying in the 70s, it's a good time to do it. Now, keep in mind, we may jump to the 80s again, in the next couple of 3 weeks. So watch your temperatures. But if you think we're going to be in the 70s, you know, go ahead and do it. Also, Jenna, this is important about ryegrass. Be sure you have current seed. Be sure the place where you buy it has this year's seed. Because if you have 2020, 2021 ryegrass seed, some of it will come up, but not a great percentage will come up. Be sure it's good current year season. Here's the big deal on ryegrass, and I've done it and regretted it. Don't get any of the ryegrass in your flower beds, in your mulch, because it'll come up. Ryegrass will come up on this asphalt parking lot out here if you put enough water on it. Mm-hmm. It'll come up in your flower bed, and getting it out of your flower bed is a chore. So be very careful. 10 pounds per 1,000. Water it in, don't scalp the lawn, and don't get it in your flower bed. And you can have a green lawn all winter, but keep that lawnmower handy because you've got to mow it.
Okay, keep that lawnmower out. Sorry, your work isn't over. And thank you for that question. We've got a couple other questions coming in. We do have to take a quick break. It's about 9:46 on News Radio 92.3. Still seeing those temperatures lingering in the 50s right now throughout Northwest Florida, 55 in Pensacola, as well as Gulf Breeze and 54 in Milton, 53 in Cantonment. Going to drop significantly tonight. So with that being said, we got a tip from our dear friend. Where did it go? Okay, here it is. Catherine said, bring your Norfolk Island pine inside. I think that's like a tropical type of pine, I want to say. Okay.
Yes.
I store things upstairs sometimes, Mike.
You got it. And some people use that as a small Christmas tree.
Yes. Absolutely. And they're adorable. I love them. Yeah. A little Charlie Brownish type of Christmas tree. But Catherine says, bring it inside because they can only tolerate up to 45 degrees. So if you're in those areas where it drops,
good advice.
Bring them on in.
Good advice.
Keep them alive. On that note, let's take a quick break. If you'd like to text in 437-1620 to News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Hey, good morning and happy Tuesday. I'm Jenna Barr. Hope you've got that sweater on this morning with those temperatures outside. We're all excited about it. I think it's a nice little break. And our weather fluctuates. If you're new to the area, just so you know, it might be chilly this week and then you can hit the beach next. So it's just the best thing about living here. This is from our friend Janet on our text line at 437-1620. She was saying that the locust tree may be named Imperial because of purple blooms. Purple is the color associated with royalty.
Really?
Isn't that neat? That's from Janet. She texts that in.
You know, Janet is a great listener. You talk about keeping us straight here on the Garden Line with great information. Janet, thank you. I bet she's right.
And then Mike said, Paul said, Mike, it also sounds like the Wagandia tree.
Wagandia?
Wagandia.
Don't know it.
But he's not too familiar, but it kind of sounds like it. And I'm not sure how common they are in this area. And our friend Chris said it was up off of 10 Mile?
Up near Molino.
Oh, Molino. Okay, yeah, so even further. Molino. Okay.
But Chris said that someone had told him that it was called an Imperial.
Imperial.
Tree.
But that makes sense. If it's purple blooms.
Exactly.
I want to see
it. And then the honey locust, you know, the Imperial, that's the whole name of a variety of tree, is Imperial honey locust. So, very interesting.
Okay. We have another friend named Chris. Thank you for adding your name into your text, too. It helps to know who we're hanging out with and chatting with on the Garden Line. And whenever you get to send in a comic, makes us friends, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
So Chris from Beulah says, I have two plumerias right at 2 years old. At what temperature should I bring them into my Florida sunroom? Will they be okay outside with tonight's temperatures? They are currently potted plants, putting them in the ground next spring.
I would be tempted to bring them in, considering we're living in Beulah. That's a little north, not as north as some of the other, obviously, in Escambia County. But I don't take a chance. Yeah. Don't take a chance. If they're the type of thing, I mean, I've got some plants that I just have to leave it up to Mother Nature because it's too heavy for me to move. And sometimes it's hard to round up a grandchild to come help me do it. They're so busy.
Right.
So if it's doable, I would go ahead and move them inside just for the night, or really just for the next two nights, when we're going to go down, you know, close to freezing. And then you probably put them right back outside. But if you're going to eventually have to bring them inside, once again, kind of gradually move them in so they get acclimated to the lower light that I'm going to have during the winter.
Okay, very good. If you'd like to throw another text into the text line, 850-437-1620, I think I'm all caught up for now. Other than, what about a raised garden bed outside tonight? How do we treat it? You think that they're resilient enough in dropping temperatures in this area?
Yes, especially what's planted in. I assume it's a fall garden, which in these temperatures should not bother a fall garden. Cabbage, collards, turnips, radishes, all that stuff. I think you're going to be okay, but be sure it's well irrigated. That's the key. You know, all these plants, you know, especially those that are kind of on the borderline, water them real good. That'll help them get through any type of, or getting through this type of cold. And especially if it's by chance kind of dry, because we haven't had rain for a long, long time.
Not
we
much.
Need it very, yes. very badly. So if it's dry, you've got to water it. But even if it's not, I'd go ahead and just water it just to be sure.
Okay. What about a Satsuma tree that's not really bearing any fruit this year? Any ideas as to why?
Not really. I hope it should be in full sun. Fertilization is important. A good citrus fertilizer. I would do it in the spring. I don't think I would do it now. You don't want to promote a whole lot of new growth in case we have some more cold weather, which we're going to have before the winter is over. But it's hard to say. It could be variety. Sometimes it could be maybe you pruned it at the wrong time, maybe you cut it way back, but I simply would just be sure it's well irrigated, it's in the sun, fertilization in the spring, and I bet you'll be okay.
Okay, very good. And then last but not least, oh, you're welcome. Thank you for texting in, and thank you for texting in all your questions. If you have another one, I promise we still have about 5 minutes left to squeeze your question in. Any other tips as we prepare for these colder temperatures over the next 4 to 5 days?
Well, one thing I want to remind everybody about, we've talked about this before. There's a citrus survey out there that the University of Florida is doing insofar as residential citrus is concerned. And we have so many listeners on the Garden Spot that grow backyard citrus insofar as insect control. They just want to ask you some questions about where you are and the type of trees you have and that type of thing, so they can do a just survey to understand how best to control pests on citrus. So I would call the Escambia County Extension Service if you would like to do that, and tell them you want to do the citrus survey, and they will put you in touch with the right people. So the citrus survey is out there. A couple other things, too. Here we are going into November, and a lot of we don't have our bloomers that are not going to last that long. Our hibiscus, our mandevilla, our alamander, all of those things, which we've really enjoyed this summer.
Oh, yes.
So I want you to really, you know, consider camellias. I've got a couple of big pots that I've got. On one, I've got a nice camellia, and the other one I have a sasanqua. And if you look outside the studio here, Jenna, the landscaping out here has got just a lot of sasanquas, which are these smaller growing, smaller blooms, smaller leaves
type of
camellia, if you will. So consider that, putting that in a container out where you can enjoy some color as we get into the cooler months. A lot of people do that, and it's easy to do. They will do so well here in Pensacola. And hopefully we'll have our camellia crew on here as we get closer to the camellia show with Buzz and Skip to come on and talk about camellias. They always bring the big tray, which is always a radio challenge to describe.
I think we're going to do Facebook Live this year. I think we're going to step it up a notch. And I think I might hire, you know, Andrew or Bobby to come in and camera work it, get a light so we look real good. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's take a quick break before I get the sillies too much.
That's not silly. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Because it's always a challenge to describe these beautiful camellias on the radio. But if we could do that Facebook, that would be terrific.
Oh, you wait. I've got a couple things up my sleeve
You always do, buddy. You always do.
That was my Elmer Fudd sleeve. All right, 9:57. We're going to take another quick break before we wrap this. Well, Mike, we've had a great Tuesday morning.
This has been fun.
So much fun. Thank you for texting in. If you did send in a question, we will get to it next week, 9 a.m.
Without a doubt, we will. And just thank everybody. Today, we all learned something about Imperial honey locust, and we appreciate all the comments we got via text and phone. So thank you very much, folks. We appreciate you listening to us.